Oh, that was a strong blow, wasn't it?
Not half, mate. Not half. Made me shudder, that one did.
Oh, you did. I saw.
Yeah, wind's really picked up this week, ain't it? Heard it might rain later.
Oh, yeah. Well, that wouldn't go amiss. Tell you what, after the day I've been having, I could do with a drink.
Yeah.
I like being a leaf.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sketching Out.
Episode 20. The podcast will be able to drink in America soon.
That's right.
And it's now legally an adult in New Zealand. And then I got thinking, what else can you do at 20?
No,
here are some things, Adam. Yeah. In New Zealand, it's good news. You're allowed to...
Being 20 is good news.
Yeah, because you're legally an adult at 20 in New Zealand. You're allowed to gamble in a casino.
Okay.
Tick. You're allowed to adopt a relative.
Can you adopt any relative? Like as in...
Oh, you can adopt any relative nowadays.
And as in you then become... You're then in charge of them. So if you have an aunt that's always on your case.
Oh, yeah. Adopt her.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Okay, carry on.
So before you're 20, you can drive, but you have to have zero alcohol in your blood.
Okay.
But when you're 20, you can have a small amount of alcohol in your blood.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That makes absolutely no sense.
How great is that?
What is the legal drinking age?
It's New Zealand, probably, like, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I have
something
no
idea. Sensible or something ridiculous? What should we go for?
It looks like it could go either way, based on what you can do for some reason when you're 20.
So people being leaves is funny, isn't it?
It's all right. But it's called Time to Die.
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. That's right.
No. Not Time to Die.
Well, okay, good. You'll know the answer to this then. What does that mean, no time to die? As in, he doesn't have time to die? Or as in, this is no time to die?
I think it's this is no time to die is what I've taken it as.
Okay.
As opposed to other times, which are times to die. Times that would not be okay to die at. Your birthday.
A life convention. An anti-dying convention.
An anti-dying convention, yes.
That's the only place where I can think would have an actual, like, as in it would be an affront to what's going on.
It would be offensive to the group. A president during a war.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what Boris Johnson felt like when he had COVID and was on a ventilator or wasn't, I can't remember. But
this
in
is
intensive
no time
care,
to die.
Yeah, he said, this is no time to die.
Right, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge was in the room next door.
Yes.
And she was like, that's excellent.
Just like, can I have that? And then she said, actually, I shouldn't have asked. Oh, yeah. No, my agent says I've got to stop doing that.
Yeah, and he says that she can copy it, but make it look like it's her own work. Excited for the new Bond?
Yeah, kind of. I haven't got my ticket yet, but I'm going to. I know that you're going this evening. Are you excited?
I bet there will be bits of it that I think are good.
Yeah.
And there'll be bits of it that I don't think are good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't really know what the plot is.
But do you ever? Except for in Casino Royale, where I sort of knew.
What do you think the plot would be?
Of this Bond?
Yeah.
Well,
if you were writing the plot.
So, in this episode? This Bond film, Bond has to get a...
Pair of skis. For the ski slope.
This is how it opens.
Yeah, he's running. He's
running from someone.
He's running from...
Spectre,
and he can't find skis.
Okay, because he's about to run off the edge of a snowy mountain.
Yeah. He's like, oh, but I'm such a good skier, but I don't have skis on me.
So he fashions some skis.
From?
From the bark of a tree.
Yes.
Using his laser watch.
His laser watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he calms them out.
He takes the time to kind of put the British flag, to put the Union Jack on it.
Yeah.
He takes time to burn
the Union Jack into the skis. Both of them.
And he straps on the skis.
He straps on the skis
using his socks.
Nice. Ties him up. Who's coming after him?
Spectre.
Yeah, and what is that? What does that look like on the camera?
People in skis. And they're wearing Union Jack flags with a big cross through them.
Wow. A black cross.
Yeah, not the Union Jack cross.
Not another
cross. As in it's like a big no to the Union Jack.
But it's very clear.
Very clear.
Okay. And they also have letters on their jumpers, their ski jumpers that say spell out Spectre. But the R and the E, they're always getting into fights and they're always the wrong way round. And the R's like...
What do you mean?
So each of them has one letter.
But I see.
The ones at the end are always getting
one's
their
wearing S, one's wearing P.
They're always getting the formation wrong. And it's
just pectors.
Yeah. It's always a different variation. Bond isn't even necessarily sure if this is a new villain.
Right.
Or if it's the same one.
Okay, so he's going down the ski slope. He's got in his hands a briefcase, which he also fashioned from wood.
And contains the nuclear codes.
Okay.
That he's stolen back. And they didn't make a copy of them.
Idiots. That is so dumb. Obviously, if you got the nuclear codes, photocopy them right away or write them down somewhere in a safe place or memorize them, better still. He's about to ski into a mountain, okay? And it's like, where is he going to go? The only way is up. And then out of nowhere, out of the watch comes like a sort of a metal structure that like plants itself on the ground and then slides under Bond's bottom and then just flings him up and he gets propelled
like a little catapult.
Yes, like a little catapult, and he goes up and then he lands through the sunroof of an Aston Martin DB9 at the top of the mountain
in the car, on the top. Right.
And then gets in and goes looks at the watch and goes, ha, you saved my ass. Because in Die Another Day, a similar thing happens where he like drives off the end of this thing structure and it's a bell tower.
Yeah.
And he jumps onto the bell and grabs it before he flies off. And he goes, Pierce Brosnan goes, saved by the bell.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan was unashamed.
Unashamed crap.
Just
crap.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Funny crap.
And then Billie Eilish comes on.
Billie Eilish comes on.
All right.
And she's singing about getting older, which is actually very appropriate for... Well, in her new album, there's a song, I think, about her getting older, which I really like.
Getting older.
Yeah, Billie Eilish. Right. He's looking old, Daniel Craig. So I think it fits well with him and his tie. It's his last Bond. He's looking old. He's getting older. Billie Eilish singing about getting older. We're all getting older. This time, the watch had to save his ass. Who knows how much longer he can go on for? Yeah. So
you can only put so many watches on the arm. He's running out of space.
Can't bend at the elbow.
No.
He's got watches all the way up. He's like, I'm just worried that with the expansion of technology in the modern era, I'm wondering if I'm becoming irrelevant. It's like these watches are really doing most of the heavy lifting now in a lot of my...
It seems that internet connections are faster than Bond. Okay, and then opening credits ends.
Yeah.
You see Bond in bed just like a typical London flat. Like he's just like asleep and he's like naked and there's kind of beers and cigs and empty packets of crisps everywhere. That is
so Bond.
And it's an undefined amount of time later, which it says on the screen. It says undefined amount of time later, ..
Nice. So we don't know what's happened in the interim between him being saved by the watch and skiing. Yeah.
And then he gets a call. And he kind of looks at it angrily, picks up the phone, and it's a voice that just says, get to MI5 now, James. Bond. And then he's like, I haven't heard that name in a long time. And then they're like, in 5 seconds, your flat's going to explode. And he's like, I just bought this flat. Are you joking? And then he's butt naked. Throughout all of this as well.
Okay.
I know. And he jumps out the window. And then as he jumps out the window, the flat explodes.
Oh my God,
so it
was actually going to explode.
Yeah, and it singes his ass.
Oh my God.
Right? But as he comes out.
Yeah.
He pulls a watch. And you're not sure where from.
Okay.
And he puts it on his wrist. And he presses a button and it turns into a pair of pants, which he then puts on.
Nice. They put out the flames.
And they put out the flames. They're anti-flame pants.
He can't look at the watch again and say, you saved my ass, because we've done that already.
No, he should.
Think of another... Oh, yeah. Maybe it's good if it's a recurrent thing.
And he just keeps saying, you saved my ass, no matter. And sometimes it's relevant and sometimes it's not.
We'll hold it there with Bond for a quick intermission. Back to the leaves. I'm Adam.
And I'm Phil.
And today, we're here to talk to you about becoming a leaf.
It's not easy being a human.
Not easy at all.
And now, you don't have to be.
Become a leaf.
So long, grief.
So come on down to the centre today for a time-limited offer of 50% off.
We take your DNA.
We take leaf DNA.
And Robert's your father's brother.
You're a leaf.
Hey, Adam, is it painful?
What?
Also, change back whenever you feel like it.
If you feel like it.
That's right, Adam. because here at the Leaf Centre, we're so confident that you'll love being a Leaf. You'll never want to change back.
Terms and conditions apply. Robert may not be your father's brother.
So then Bond...
He's in the streets, in his pants.
Yeah.
And he has at least one watch that we know of.
Yeah.
And he has to get somewhere.
He has to get to MI5.
Gets to MI5. How old does he live far away?
He lives in North London on Holloway Road. So he runs, and then next scene, he's like running up to MI5
okay,
in his
up
pants.
The stairs. Yeah.
Yeah, he runs up the stairs. So Bond bursts into the waiting room and he tries to get in the door, but Moneypenny says, sorry, he's got someone in right now. Have a seat. I mean, if you'd like, feel free to play poker. There's a high-stakes poker tournament. High-stakes poker tournament on
happening
at the moment, if
online.
You'd like to get involved. So then he opens the laptop and logs in to MI5 poker, and he enters the room and he's playing, and then it's just down to him and Le Chiffre. And Le Chiffre is there kind of like with like a little picture of Le Chiffre with his cards, looking pensive and like kind of angry. And he keeps sending Bond messages being like, I know who you are, Mr. Bond. And he just keeps, Bond keeps getting notifications about it. And he's like trying to figure out how to turn the sound off. And he's just sending him evil eye emojis. And anyway, and then M comes and says, sorry about that, Bond. I had a meeting about my testicles.
They're not sure if it's serious. And I wanted to ask a few more questions. I'll thank you for not asking me any more about it. How did you do in the poker? And he says, oh, I'm just logging out now. One second. And he says, sorry, Le Chiffre, I got to go. And Le Chiffre says, ha, I knew you weren't man enough, Mr. And then he closes the laptop because he doesn't realize Le Chiffre was messaging. And Bond's attention is obviously
Le Chiffre
focused.
Starts ringing him.
And he's like, why is he ringing? He says, never mind. Because obviously his mind and attention and concern is on M's balls because he's just said this thing. But also he doesn't know whether, because M's just asked him not to bring it up again.
Right, it's obviously all he can think about.
It's all he can think about. I get the sense that M wants to talk about it. And Bond, being a master of the human psyche, he says...
If I had a watch that could help, I would.
He says, listen, M, tell me about your bloody balls. And then he like looks at the camera and says, show me a watch that can do that. Because he's asked him in the best possible way.
Then a screen comes up that says, an ill-defined amount of time later, and they're just finishing up the conversation about M's balls.
But we're not party to it.
No.
How do they look at the end? They look like they talk through some things.
M looks...
You look better. Rashid.
Exhausted, but a bit lighter.
Interesting. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And Bond looks heavier.
Yeah, always heavier.
And then M says, those nuclear codes that you stole?
Well.
You're not going to believe.
They're actually...
We lost them in customs.
Oh, what?
You've got to go to customs.
Oh, no.
But customs has moved to Marrakesh.
Oh, don't send me to customs, boss. Please, I'll do anything. I can't, as in, have you tried calling them?
We have tried calling them, but COVID.
Oh, what?
It's affected MI5 as well. Go and see Q.
What does that mean?
Go and see Q and he'll get you some watches.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So then he goes to meet Q in London Aquarium.
Yes, perfect. In the London Aquarium.
Staring at the penguins.
And it's like, it's odd, Bond. The penguins are just standing still and there's no daylight in here. So I wonder if it's good for them. Anyway, I've got this watch for you to go to Marrakesh. It's perfect for your mission. It's got the map of Marrakesh on it.
At this point, Bond is still just in his pants.
He says, if you're going to go to Marrakesh...
You're going to need a suit.
You're going to need a suit.
So he gives him a suit, but it's not just any suit. Okay. It's a suit where if he doesn't tie the tie with a half Windsor knot,
yeah,
it will strangle him.
Okay.
Which will be useful in the third act.
Okay. For when the villain...
Because much like Chekhov's gun, in which any gun introduced has to be shot.
Yes.
It's the same thing with this tie.
Yes, of course.
Anyway, more from Bond after this thing about a leaf or something.
All right. Mr. Brooks, terribly sorry to have kept you waiting. I was looking for my secretary, Karen. She must have stepped out. Can I get you anything, though? Some water or coffee, perhaps?
Water would be lovely, thank you.
Of course.
Thanks.
No problem. Now, Mr. Brooks, I caught the gist of your story from my secretary, Karen.
Oh, yes. Karen was really lovely.
Oh, good. That's good.
I shall feed that back to her. However, I'd like to hear the story from you, because frankly, Mr. Brooks, you have a voice, and I believe you deserve to be heard.
I suppose this all started when they were doing those adverts on the telly, you know, for changing your DNA from a human to a leaf. And, you know, at first it seems amazing not having to worry about all those human things. Mm. But then after a while, I mean, you forget who you are, you know, and you realize that you've lost a part of yourself.
I understand entirely, Mr. Brooks. In fact, if I may confide in you, I went into this line of work because of my own experiences. Yes, I used to be a chrysanthemum. It was awful. Hated every minute of it. Bees, asses, rubbing in my face all the time. Nice at first, of course, you know, but noisy.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I wanted to turn back into a human, but they don't make it easy for you. There's a lot of legal jargon, and there's more money involved, and signatures are required, and being a leaf, I can't even hold a pen.
There. Please, take a Kleenex. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Brooks, if you ask me, you've been dealt a hand of some major injustice. I'd like to represent you, because I feel what these people really respond to is a firm approach. Pardon me, a stern approach. Now, Mr. Brooks, I'd like to continue this conversation, but I am rather hungry. Would you mind terribly if I had my lunch?
Oh, not at all. In fact, I'll join you if you wouldn't mind adding my nitrates.
If I remember correctly, that stuff's not half bad.
No, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't.
Well, Karen sorted out my lunch today. BLT, again. Ah! Karen! Karen! Oh my god! Karen, why? Why lettuce, Karen? Why lettuce?
They made me do it. I'm sorry.
Who? Who made you do this?
Lord, Hydrangea, I love you. And,
Karen? Karen? Karen, no!
You are surrounded!
I'll tell them it wasn't your fault.
Oh, they won't care. This goes all the way to the top. I'll leaf through the window. Leave.
I'll hold them off.
So, there are some good leaves among the foliage after all.
Good luck, Mr. Lawyer.
Armed police!
If you want the lawyer, you'll have to go through me.
Yeah, turning into a leaf. Anyway.
So he lands in Marrakesh.
He gets off the plane and he's wearing like a nice linen suit. Someone comes up to him and says, excuse me, sir, do you have a QR code to say you've been double vaccinated? Or will you be doing a test here with us today?
And Bond doesn't know what to do.
He's only got a lateral flow test.
He didn't get his vaccines. Doesn't believe in them. You know, this is the thing. When you take on Bond, you know you're taking on a maverick. Yes, he's talented. Yes, he'll do brilliant things for you. Yeah. But he has some peculiar views. He hasn't got his vaccinations. Obviously, he hasn't therefore got his...
That's not very British of him.
No, he hasn't got his vaccination card either.
Right.
From the NHS. So he has to think fast. Fortunately, he remembers one of the gadgets that M gave him. It's a bottomless bag of crisps. And he appears to be looking for his vaccine passport. He says, no, hang on, that's not it. He said, what's this? Oh, that's just my bag of crisps.
What type of crisps?
Monster Munch. And he opens Monster Munch packet and he just has a... He goes, that's very good. And then the other guy says, can I have a crisp? And he says, no. Bond says, these are my crisps. And the man who's supposed to be inspecting the NHS vaccine passport says, oh, come on, can't I just have one? That's ridiculous. And Bond says, no, I'm hungry. I've been on a plane. There weren't many snacks. And I brought these from home and I'm going to eat them. And the guy says, right, screw you. And he takes a bag of crisps from Bond. And he says, I'm going to eat all of these crisps just to spite you, Mr. Bond. One, two, and he's loading crisps up into his mouth. And of course, don't forget, he doesn't know it's a bottomless bag of crisps. And he just keeps eating and he's getting fuller and fuller. And he's thinking, God, when is his bag of crisps going to get to the bottom?
And then Bond has taken his sunglasses off during this.
Yeah.
At one point, he just turns around and he slowly starts walking away and puts his sunglasses back on. And you see the guy in the background still eating all the crisps. And then he just explodes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then he like gets to onto the other side of the airport. He gets into Marrakesh.
So then Bond gets to customs after a high-speed chase through the stalls of Marrakesh. And he gets bitten by a snake. And then he goes to the stall next door where they sell the antidote to the venom. Mm. Spectre are chasing him. P, guy wearing the t-shirt that has P on it, is coming closer to him.
Is he in front again, like, instead of the S?
And Bond is like, I need the antidote. I need the antidote. Please, please, please. And he doesn't have any money. And he's like, he's only got one thing to trade, which is his other bag of crisps, which is a packet of salt and shake crisps where you have to put the salt in yourself and shake it.
Right.
And he gives it to them. And the guy is like, so do I stir it? And he's like, no, shake and not stirred. So we've got that in.
Nice.
So he gets the antidote and the guy is seen enjoying the crisps. They're just normal bag of crisps. They're not endless.
Actually, no, they are. It turns out that they are also endless.
Okay.
And then Bond starts running again and he puts his sunglasses back on and there's another explosion. So then Bond gets to customs.
Yeah.
And customs is a big castle on an island.
Nice. And he goes across in a pedalo and he's looking around and he sees that there's not much cover and there'll be he regrets being in a pedalo that is of a giant swan, but there's nothing he can do
and
now.
It's UV and it's at night.
Thankfully, though, no one on the fortress of customs spots him, because
customs doom. Yeah,
none of them spot him. And one of them thinks he sort of thinks he's walking along the wall on patrol. And for a second, he thinks he sees out of the corner of his eye a giant swan. But then he goes, nah, that's not possible. And he carries on walking.
He's like, I did take a lot of
Valium this morning. Yeah.
Earlier today. So it's probably that.
Yeah.
Anyway, then cuts to a chair from behind. You can't see the face.
Yeah.
In a room with loads of computer screens.
Uh-huh.
And they see a swan in the cameras.
You see their hand holding a glass of whiskey. And you see their hands just like crush the glass.
Yeah. And it's got like a sparkler in it. And then you see someone pass him another glass. And then you see them put a sparkler in after and trying to light it.
So sorry, just to clarify. So he crushed it though still, right?
So he crushed the glass with the sparkler in it. And then someone gives him another one. On the rocks, puts a sparkler in, and they're trying to light it.
Yeah.
And all the time, the swan is just getting closer to the island. And you just see Bond get off the swan.
And the person's hand with the lighter is shaking frantically as they're trying to light this, because they know that they can't do anything about Bond until they light this.
So then the bad guy, you just see, you still can't see who it is.
Mm.
You just see a gun come out and shoot the person who's failing to light the sparkler. And it also lights the sparkler.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the background, you see Bond get off the boat.
Yeah.
And he's heading towards the fortress. So now we go back to Bond.
I just realized, as far as Bond's concerned, he's not doing anything wrong. He's just going to customs.
No, but he's broken in now. This is outside of customs hours.
This is it. Yeah, he went at night where there isn't customs.
Customs are only open between 9 and 4 p.m.
And it's guarded by Marrakesh. Armed guards outside that time.
Well, of course it is. So he's breaking the rules, and he's got to the island that has the castle on it, and now he's got to scale a massive wall.
So we can get some product placement in, because he'll look up at the wall and be like, phew, lucky I've got these new Nike Air Bounces. And then he'll just leap as high as he can.
Yeah.
And there'll be like a long shot of the Nike Air Bounces.
Yeah.
So he bursts into customs with a slip. He's been given like a Royal Mail slip, like a Borders Force thing from MI5.
Saying, "Dear Mr. Bond, we regret to inform you that we've had to sequester one or more of your items when you flew from Oslo to London via Marrakesh. We're open from 9 to 4 most days, so why not give us a try then? You can find us on this island in this fortress. Here's a picture so you know what it looks like.
There's yours sincerely.
Customs."
So he pulls that out and he's waiting at the area where people collect parcels.
Yeah, for a few minutes he's before broken realizing.
He's broken in, but he still thinks that someone might be there to help.
He thinks it's worth a try.
He thinks he might as well ring the bell and wait 10 minutes.
Give them a chance.
Anyway, so 10 minutes goes by. We cut to the evil guy again. And he has now got a glass of apple sours.
Yeah.
With a
apple that is in the mouth of a pig balanced on top of it, and it looks heavy. We see now the strength of this villain. He's holding that up like it's nothing.
He's a Thanos character.
And someone's hand comes in and is trying to light the tail of the pig, which obviously isn't gonna light.
Yeah. And there's just a pile of dead bodies and broken lighters.
Yeah, we still don't see the villain.
So we still haven't seen the villain anyway. And he is looking at Bond through another camera. And he's also wondering if there is anyone there because he can't be bothered.
Sitting there thinking, well, with any luck, this will all be resolved through the proper channels.
And... yeah, it's like, oh, I don't want to have to do this. I'm far too senior. Also, I want that parcel.
I've got a whole pig to eat.
He takes a big bite into the pig. He hears like a tap on the window and he's like, that's weird. What's that? And he goes and looks out the window, and then Bond just comes flying in because he's put a rope on the roof and he's just beelines down.
Yeah.
And he just smashes through the window.
Yes.
Onto the bad person's chest.
There'll be more Bond after this.
See you soon.
Leaf Town. It reeks of soil. I have been here for 3 nights, skulking through alleys and hiding in muck, disguised as a fungus. But even after so many days undercover...
Hey Sarge, what does this look like to you?
Gathering intelligence.
It kinda looks like a mushroom.
And knocking heads.
No, wait, please, I don't know anything!
I am no closer to finding Lord Hydrangea, but I don't need to know where he is to send a message.
My Lord Hydrangea, there's been another attack.
It's the lawyer.
But my lord, there's nothing to suggest this. It could be any number of...
I said!
And I will stop at nothing to avenge my secretary.
It's the lawyer!
Karen.
So now Bond is standing on the chest of the villain, looking down at their face.
And then he gets off their chest because he's like, sorry, I was just here to get a parcel. I didn't mean to hurt you. I just thought someone might be in.
Yeah, he said, well, we haven't met. The name's Bond, James Bond. So we got that in.
And then you hear, oh, I know who you are, Mr. Bond. And we see a Frankenstein-type monster of Idris Elba, Tom Hardy, and...
Tom Hiddleston.
Yes, and it turns out that Daniel Craig has a lot of say in the writer's room and is also going to be staying on as Bond.
And just to make sure, there's no one who can take his place. He's going to cast them. Once they're cast as the villain, the three of them as a prospective Bond, finished.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. It's genius from Daniel Craig. Then what happens is, the people who were chasing him on the roof, which is why he jumped off the roof that he attached the rope to and beelined in through the window, they've had quite a lot of time to find out which window he went in and so come back down the stairs and come and apprehend him. Bond, meanwhile, they found him just talking, still standing on the chest of the villain.
He's thrusting the leaflet in the guy's face.
He just keeps showing him the letter that he got from customs and he's demanding for it to be rectified. He said, I'm here to collect my documents that were sequestered. Here is my slip. Give me my documents. And the guy keeps telling him, it's like, we're not open at the moment. Like, if you come back tomorrow, I'd be happy to help. And Bond's having none of it. But meanwhile, because they were going at it for so long, these large gentlemen come down and apprehend James Bond.
They managed to apprehend him.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's really easy. He's so distracted with the argument.
He's being, like, held back, and then the bad guy throws the pig from his glass at Bond, and Bond gets knocked unconscious, and the camera goes black.
Okay, yeah.
And then he wakes up in the dungeon.
Hands tied above his head, chained above his head, and he's nude.
And you can still see the scorch marks from the start where he jumped out the window as well.
Yeah, and a massive imprint of a pig on his face. From where he was hit by the villain moments ago. So fortunately, there's a couple of fortunate things. Number one, Bond is not losing his mind. He was kind of like, I can't believe I came in here without wearing any clothes again. And then he looks to the right and he sees that someone's actually taking the time to hang up his suit and shirt and socks and his shoes.
And it's been pressed.
And it's been pressed. So first of all, he's like, that's a relief.
And that's nice. That's nice of them.
Good etiquette. And then the villain comes in.
It's a mixed review from Bond.
It's quite a good tactic. He doesn't know how to. He's ambivalent now towards his apparent.
He's probably holding on to the hope
that he's still going to get his documents.
That he's going to get his documents if he gives them like a good review on TripAdvisor or something.
And that's what he says. He says when they come in, he says, "Look," he says, "I'll give you a good review on TripAdvisor. I'll give you anything. I'll give you 5 stars.
But I won't give you the Queen.
Yes.
She's my Queen."
And the villain looks really incensed by that for the first time, I think, so far in the film. Okay, like most of it, he's actually been very calm and collected, almost indifferent, and maybe not even the most obvious choice of villain. But now he looks furious because he hates it when people tell him what to do,
and he hates it that he can't have the Queen, which is what he wanted all along. He wanted to trade the nuclear codes for the Queen, so he comes in with the nuclear codes and says, "I'm happy to fulfill your request, Mr. Bond. All I ask is for a small payment."
And Bond says, "Well, name your price, but I'll never give you anything but the Queen.
Anything but the Queen."
And so, yes, so he's furious.
Bond says to him, "You couldn't play me. I play me. The combination of you three doesn't have the acting talent to even fill that suit."
And they say, "You think not, Mr. Bond. I think you'll be surprised at how easily a morphed Idris Elba, Tom Hiddleston, and Tom Hardy can fit into your suit." And he said, "Yes, well, it is a very broad suit." But then they start to go over to the suit and they start putting it on, which is fine. And then they get to the shoes and they tie the shoes up, left shoe, right shoe. And then they do up the buttons on the shirt from top to bottom. They tuck their shirt in and then they lift their collar up, ready to do their tie. And he takes the tie and he starts tying the tie.
And Bond says to him, "I bet you don't even know how to tie a full Windsor knot."
And the guy says, "Ha, you're not the only one who went to Eton, Bond."
Is that Tom Hiddleston that says that?
Yeah.
Right.
And then he starts tying the tie. And then it's really embarrassing, actually, because Bond thought he was going to die, but actually transpires that they can't remember how to tie a full Windsor knot.
No.
So he's sort of standing there dilly-dallying for a bit, getting more and more frustrated. And then he's trying and trying, and then he's getting really frustrated, and he starts going, and his guards, he's been doing this for a couple of minutes now, just going like, because he can't remember how to tie it. And then his guards are like, are you okay? And he says, "No, I'm not okay."
And then one of the guards comes over for him and says, "Don't worry, boss. I've got it. I went to Eton too."
Oh, thank God.
And then helps him tie the full Windsor knot. As the full Windsor knot reaches the peak of the collar, we just see the neck contract.
And engorge, and his face and his goes face purple.
Engorging. Then Bond uses this opportunity to start swinging.
Yeah, and then what he does is, He like hoists himself up because they haven't tied his feet up.
Yeah.
He hoists himself up and grabs the chain above him with his feet, and he starts climbing up just using his feet and then arms and then gets to the top.
And then he starts punching where it's screwed into the wall, and then it comes down. And then he's butt naked. And then Bond goes up to the guy and just shows him the slip again and says, "It's this package." And then the villain pulls out an anti-suffocation serum out of his back pocket.
Wow.
The neck starts to expand. Bond's turned away at this point thinking that he's won. So he's walking away. Then the guy pulls out a gun, points it at Bond. Bond then ducks and pulls a Baby G watch out, and we don't know where it came from. And he presses something, and then a beefeater just appears from the watch and just beats the shit out of the bad guy.
Wow.
I know.
And the guards?
Yeah, for good measure.
For good measure.
Yeah, because he heard inside the watch what he said about the Queen.
And then the beefeater turns to Bond after and says, "Don't worry, Mr. Bond. I'm also an expert cataloger. I actually am a librarian in my spare time. As you know, many beefeaters don't do this full time." He says, "I'll go down to the customs archives and find your documents for you. And Mr. Bond says, wow, you really saved my ass.
So Bond follows the
Beefeater
down to where they keep all the packages and parcels in customs.
And the Beefeater says, it's really quite easy, Mr. Bond. The only thing you need to know about cataloging and the Dewey Decimal System is this. And then he goes, oh my God. And it turns out that somehow in the struggle, the tie has ended up on the Beefeater. Yes, we didn't see it under his fancy collar or whatever. He couldn't see it.
Right, and Bond just starts ripping at his Beefeater clothes and then sees the tie.
Yes.
He tries to undo it, but there's no undoing a full Windsor knot.
It's too late.
Yeah.
He looks up in despair because he was so close to learning the one thing you need to know about cataloging. And he says, that was no time to die.
And then cut to like a big house on Lake Como.
Uh-huh.
And we just see outside with like a glass of iced tea, Le Chiffre, on his laptop.
Yeah.
And he's asking his butler if he can do something about the glare. and Le Chiffre logs into his account on villainpoker.com. And then we see Bond is in the room and they start playing poker. And then he's sending him more and more emojis of evil glances and evil glares. Le Chiffre is waiting for Bond to either call or raise.
Yeah.
But it just starts taking a while. And then Le Chiffre is like, And then he takes a sip of his iced tea and then it gets shot out of his hand. And Le Chiffre looks around and we see on the laptop, Bond has left the room.
And then he looks up at the person he thought was his butler and it was actually
Bond.
Bond.
And then Bond says, would you mind putting some aloe vera on my bottom?
And I'll help you with the glare on your screen.
Cut to Billie Eilish.
Nice.
And Bond scene. So I think that's what the new Bond will be.
Well, I hope you're not disappointed.
No.
When you see it this evening.
Thanks for listening to that. This is the last episode we'll be doing for a few weeks. End of season one.
Yes. Good work, everyone. Good listen.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Share it with your friends. Do us a solid if you enjoy the podcast and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify.
And follow us on social media via the website at coldplatescomedy.com.
It's turning very autumnal.
Yes. I, for one, am looking forward to the colours.
We'll have a lovely autumn.
Why not?
All right. And we'll see you at Halloween.
Oh. Spooky.
Spooky. And we'll be sure to mention all of you in our Oscar acceptance speech if we ever win with that script. Because without your ears, we'd just be beaming this out into empty space. Isn't that right, Adam?
What? Sorry.